Welcome to A Look In. I actually can't find the intro. This is so normal. Okay, welcome to A Look In. We are a podcast for young people, and today you are joined by me, Anna.
And me, Laura.
And me, Alice.
And we've come together just to chat about things that we've seen happening in the world around us, from really ridiculous things to the profound. And we invite you guys, and there's real people in the room today for this recording. How exciting. Give us a cheer. Oh my gosh, live participation. We are going to have a look into these things and explore how Jesus makes a difference to these issues and how we make sense of them in light of our faith. Today we're going to talk about travel and ChatGTP.
GPT.
Whatever.
Whatever we're going to call it. It could go crazy. Okay. Yes, well, I want to kick us off on travel, thinking about holidays, because Easter is getting a bit closer as we record this. And Alice, you're a student. Anna and I work with students. So I just feel like there's so many people who are hanging out for Easter because, you know, whether or not the traditional Christian celebration means anything to them, it's the long weekend, or it's mid-semester break, or it's school holidays, or whatever. Everyone's just like, I'm just hanging out till Easter. Where are you guys at? Are you desperate for a break? What do you see in the people around you in the lead-up to Easter?
I totally didn't feel like I needed a holiday that much until last week. And then I think just like, you know, the start of the year energy, like things are going on, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I'm tired. Mm. And things are just like the daily grind, and you're like, oh yeah, I need a holiday.
And I think as a student, it's always nice to have a bit of a catch-up time. But I will say I can't complain for lack of holidays in my life. I have a lot of breaks. So I think when I think about holidays, it's more for me about what am I looking for? How do I feel rested? How do I actually have a good holiday? Because I actually am lucky to have quite a lot of time off at my disposal.
Yeah, no complaints from Alice. Yes. You said about feeling rested though. What do you think people are looking for when they're like, yes, I need a break. I want a holiday. Like what's the promise of that that makes us really long for it?
I think that our world's very busy and hectic, and it's nice to just step out of that for a little bit. I read somewhere once that it takes 7 days to like actually unwind a holiday until you feel like, oh, I'm actually have changed mode a little bit. And I also think that real feeling of refreshment that comes from having a break and feeling like you've then got more energy to go back to your life.
If it takes 7 days to unwind, how long does it take to feel stressed again when you go back?
Yeah, probably like 30 seconds. Yeah. I don't know.
What were you going to say, Anne?
I do think there's two different kind of holidays I want. Like I either want like a really like get out of Sydney, no kind of normal daily grind, just kind of like somewhere a different location, but like really relaxing, like massage, pool, beach, surfing, good food. Or I want like an adventure, we're going on a hike, we're experiencing different cultures, kind of like a go, but really different to my normal life. Kind of almost an escape from normal life.
Do you think you're looking for the same thing in both of those holidays?
No, and I probably need way more energy for the second one than the first.
I think that concept of escape is really interesting. I feel like that is a really common thing where people are like, oh, I just want to be able to get away from what life is like. It just feels heavy or burdensome. And that might be for all sorts of reasons, whether that's the workload's a lot, or I'm in sort of stressful relational situations I need some space from, or I'm just, you know, weighed down existentially and I need a bit of a kind of refreshing space for that. What do you reckon in terms of, you know, those kind of common complaints or what people are trying to escape from? What does the break represent there?
I think that when I think about my friends, often they feel really restless. They feel like agitated. Maybe they're looking for purpose in their job or in their study and it's not being fulfilling. And so they think, oh, maybe that holiday holds that promise or that reset for me that will make everything meaningful again. So there's a sense of like counteracting feeling dissatisfied at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, I think, and I feel it too. Like I really want to have something to look forward to that's like different to normal, but have something to almost think about that's not my day-to-day. Even though my day-to-day is pretty great, I think having something that's like, oh yeah, in the future that's exciting is cool.
Yeah, I think about, you know how people talk about that phenomenon of the Sunday scaries where even if you've had like the weekend, like a mini break or a mini holiday where you've had that kind of rest from, that's the particular about work, I guess, if you work Monday to Friday.
But the Sunday scaries where you like have to sort of prepare yourself to return to what you'd kind of broken away from or escaped from, and to go, oh, it's hard. You're like, we want to look forward to something, but you have to keep coming back to that reality or something like that. And there is something, I think, you know, reflecting on kind of like, okay, well, if you look at God's character, to be like, yes, we are made to rest, not to just like hustle all the time. Our culture is so obsessed with defining ourselves by like what you're producing, and kind of, can you justify your existence by productivity or the image of like a really good maximized life? But yeah, holidays, rest, breaks, they're kind of part of who we are as humans. Mm. We do need to be able to pause sometimes. Mm. Yeah.
That reminds me a bit of a story that Jesus tells, where he says, you know, why are you so worried about your life? The flowers are still growing and the birds still have homes. Like, how does worrying add to where you're at? And I think sometimes we become so much the center of our world that we think we've got this pressure that we can't stop, we can't take a break. And that's a really beautiful promise from Jesus to say, actually, there's something bigger than you that's sustaining this world that means you can actually have a rest. It's part of who you're made to be as a human.
Do you think as a Christian then you're better at resting?
No, I don't. But I think there is a foundation there for why we need to rest and why that's important, and also the kind of rest that we're looking for and why maybe we sometimes feel restless. So maybe it answers some of those deeper questions, but I still don't think I've nailed that at all. Do you? Have you got it?
No. In our house, we call it Sunday night anxiety, which maybe sounds way more intense. Yeah. Sunday scaries, I'll adopt that. But I think like the antidote to that is like considering what is my purpose, and is my purpose being really productive Monday to Friday? But also I think Jesus has really given me freedom to realize that I am not what I do, but he loves and accepts me based on how productive I am in the week or not. And I think that does help me rest more genuinely when I have downtime during those rest times.
What do you think then about, I guess just in light of that, you know, we're talking about the beauty of the gift of rest, and the weekend's an example, but also holidays and taking a break from normal life routines. But that reality that in all the goodness that offers, you still come back to sort of reality in kind of air quotation marks, and the problems still exist. You can't totally escape just the heaviness of life in the world or the things that tire us out or wear us out or that we carry as burdens. Maybe holidays sort of promise a lot but actually under-deliver in that regard.
Mm.
What other options are there?
I used to be a teacher, and we're renowned for having lots of holidays, but also being very like stressed in our week. And I think that is part of it. Like, the end of the holidays always comes and the term always begins, and there's always something to stress about then. And I think that's where I've really realised I can't have my hope in the next holiday or the next rest moment, even though that does really give me something to kind of calm me down and reset. But I actually think, and the Bible talks about rest, like a heaven as like this language of rest. And it really does make me look forward to a time I can really genuinely rest, and I might never really experience that in this life.
Yes, I think about there's an exhortation in the Bible for people who trust Jesus to know that something greater is coming, and talks about in the way of like an inheritance, something that's guaranteed for you. And wrapped up in that inheritance is life of peace, of stability, of protection, of flourishing and fulfillment, and talks about how that's an inheritance that no one else can take away because it comes from God. And so that really strikes me as a word of comfort when you kind of go, oh, you know, you could put your whole life into saying, I'm just looking forward to my escapes or to the rest points in the middle of everything that's normal. But to go, they still don't really answer that need. Or if I have to come back to the same pressures or burdens or issues within myself even. You know, they say, you know, you can travel overseas, but you just take yourself with you so your problems will stay. to that there's actually something coming that doesn't matter if you know, a worldwide pandemic comes, that inheritance can't be taken away. Or, you know, there's lots of stuff in the news at the moment about air flight prices going up and down. So if you can't afford a holiday, what's your hope there? But to say, actually, I'm hanging out for that inheritance that can't be taken away. And that's where the real rest is going to come. Yeah.
Okay, great. So we also wanted to chat today about the new open artificial intelligence software that's been around in the media, ChatGPT. And I think there's been a lot of hype. I've seen it from like a university space about like, oh no, it's going to lead to plagiarism, but also some quite funny and good opportunities and people being like, this is really, what do they call it? Disrupting technology. I wondered what you guys thought about ChatGPT, what you've heard, how you feel.
Well, my most recent experience, actually, I was at a wedding on Saturday and the best man used ChatGPT to write his speech for the bride and the groom and put in a whole bunch of information about the groom and then said to ChatGPT, it takes so much mental energy to get that right, said to it, write a psalm in with this information, and it was hilarious. The whole place was in stitches, but kind of because it was like laughing about the fact that they were using ChatGPT and how personal actually was this information. Anyway, that was sort of like a lighthearted moment about it, I think. But I feel like there's mixed messages everywhere. Some people are like, this is so exciting, the opportunities this is opening up, the kind of capacity that this is going to expand, and then others who are like, this is the end, this is so bad, the end of human creativity, critical thinking, there's just all these challenges that come with it. So I feel like it's pretty mixed. What about you, Anne?
I have a friend who studied journalism, and when I first heard about it, I called him and I was like, oh my gosh, what do you think? Are you afraid that you're not going to have a job? Yeah. And he does kind of copywriting stuff as well. I was like, basically this writes stuff for you. So like, what's your game plan? And
that's nice and existential.
Yeah, I'm such a nice friend.
Yeah, how are you going? Everything's terrible.
But it was really interesting. He was telling me about a friend who had written an article about like this, that very meta, written an article about ChatGPT. and he had written it from that and then talked about it through that of like, what's the pros and cons of it. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting.
I think I feel a little bit skeptical about any technology to really, I don't know, maybe I'm just a slow adopter to things, and it feels like there is a lot of hype and also
still not on the B-reel, Al.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a late adopter. But I wondered if we could go a little bit more deeply into some of the things you think are real opportunities and good things that we see reflected at the heart of ChatGPT.
Well, I mean, it makes me think about humans have, you know, produced evolutions of technological resources since the beginning of, you know, their time, and so much potential to kind of add to flourishing, to synthesize information, to help people kind of move forward maybe quicker, and you know, kind of enhancing that work life and supplementing where there needs to be critical thinking with stuff that's kind of just data gathering, all that. It just seems like a very, very powerful resource in that way. And I also feel like as I've heard people talk about it, stuff comes out of the woodwork. So they'll be like, yeah, actually this sort of stuff was already happening in lots of fields of work. And, you know, there's lots to be gained. Lots of people are like, this is really helpful for my work, helping me get kind of further or deeper or collaborative or things like that. And so I feel like that's not to be sneezed at. That might just be a really awesome outcome of great human minds and creativity, problem solving and working together to produce this. Yeah.
Some cool stuff I've heard talked about how it's used is one of my friend was like, put their reading in for uni and then said, ChatGPT, can you summarize the main points from this reading? I was like, oh my gosh, genius. That I think the kind of efficiency of finding information is really helpful. And I really like Google and Siri to kind of be like, hey, like, tell me about this thing. I can kind of have an answer quickly. I downloaded an app form of it, and it has like those little dotted lines you get that build the suspense when you're messaging someone that's like, dot, 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 here's your answer. And I was like, oh, tell me. That I think the kind of like excitement that this thing can deliver you information at the end of your fingertips is like pretty amazing.
I think both of those things together kind of remind me a bit of this story right at the beginning of the Bible that talks about when humans get together and they're like, I know what we can do. We can build a tower and we'll reach God, like our human capacity and potential. There's something really cool about that. Like you can collaborate together, but also really the ultimate end is kind of to know everything ourselves or to like be able to be self-sufficient or ultimately productive or something like that. I wonder if you guys have reflections on the dark sides of those benefits.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that means that chat GPT is an overreach then? We're just going where we shouldn't go.
Well, I feel like it is a bit godlike in that you can kind of be like, I want to be all-knowing and I have access to that.
But and I want to do no work.
Which I feel like is a bit different to God. But yeah, I feel like that desire in us as humans to know everything has really like developed a lot of kind of technology moving forward and has made our lives really great. But yeah, there is something in that that we as finite humans don't actually have the capacity to be all knowing about everything all the time.
It does strike me that there's something that is so appealing about that sort of just within reach to have access to so much information. And that's a kind of authority almost to say, okay, I'm going to throw this question out there and stuff that otherwise would feel so far beyond my reach or it would take ages to sift through it or something like that, that I can get that help really quickly. And I just wonder if, you know, it sort of can be a bit of a substitute for us turning to God. We kind of go, God can feel really far off and like unrelated to my life, but ChatGPT can give me the answer on anything. That's kind of a helpful source. There's kind of power there. And obviously, you know, there's a different thing between, you know, summarize my reading. That feels like fairly banal, although I think eliminating critical thinking, I'm not in favor of it at all. But you know, I was reading something the other day that talked about questions that are popular on Google search, and people like ChatGPT is going to synthesize up even better than Google. Questions like, and I mean, this is quite heavy, so kind of go with me, but what, like, why do I exist? Or how do I end my life? Or things that are really big questions that people say, I need to turn to someone who can give me the answer to that. And actually God is like the source of trying to figure out who we are, what's our purpose, and has that kind of power to answer the question. And I think that sort of common experience of maybe God feels distant or like I couldn't answer that or he can't answer that for me, really gets shattered when you meet Jesus, who says, I'm bringing God near. If you've seen me, you've seen God. And to people who are kind of like, well, how do we know if you're trustworthy or how can we tell what God's like? That's what he said to them. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so there's something about the kind of appeal of ChatGPT being able to bring us help, information, truth quickly that I think there's an even better kind of offer out there, which comes from God himself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I think, yeah, it kind of weighs heavily just to kind of think maybe this positive kind of technological tool could be used in ways like that I'm like nervous about, or I feel sad that that's where people are going to find the answer, that they would necessarily ask an artificial intelligence that question even more than like a friend or a family member. And I wonder if it is because there is something relationally distant, and like even I asked ChatGPT, do you believe in God? And a big Google search topic. And it had the facade of like being neutral, of like, I'm an artificial intelligence. Like, I don't have religious beliefs or opinions, but like, here's what some other people think. And I was like, wow, like when we don't have a go-to place to find the kind of deep needs that we want, and that's where we go to, there's something that feels unfulfilling about that.
Yeah, I like what you've picked up, that there's something human about wanting our information connected to a person or someone that we know we can trust, or that we know they've got emotional kind of sensitivity and things like that. But also that We are so lost. Like, we're searching for answers wherever we can find them. And maybe that's ChatGPT, but maybe it's lots of other places as well. But ultimately, the best kind of way that we can find those answers is through Jesus. Yeah. Well, thanks for nutting out some of those big questions, bouncing off ChatGPT. Always great to chat with you, and we'll see you next time for a look in.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.